You're a little
Whatever you do not go to the coffee shop on 9th Street today.
Tim blinks down at his phone and rubs the sleep from his eyes. It's 5 a.m. on a random Tuesday. Either Jason is just getting in from patrol or is up heinously early. Either one, it was his night off, and while he doesn't really sleep, he'd been looking forward to attempting to sleep in. But no, the obnoxious yodeling tone that Jason picked just had to yank him into consciousness. Tim really should turn those override settings off, but Jason doesn't text him often, so he also doesn't want to miss an emergency. When he doesn't reply, his phone goes off again.
You're a little.
Timothy Jackson Drake Wayne, I mean it.
And okay, Jason is full naming him now. Maybe it is an emergency.
Dude, what's going on? Do you need me or something?
You're a little.
No. In fact, let's cancel our patrol together this evening. Maybe wear green to WE today. Try a new coffee shop, especially after work. Just make today different, yeah?
What the fuck is up with him? Tim mutters. You see, what Tim doesn't know is that this is not some random Tuesday. It's not even the first time this Tuesday has happened. No, dear reader, by our calculation, this Tuesday has occurred at least 25 times already. And something has got to give. Tuesday, take one. Jason groans as his alarm begins its incessant chorus, rolling over to hit it with a bit more force than is strictly necessary, and causing the machine to crash to the floor with a disheartening cracking noise. So, not only is he up at 5 a.m. on a Tuesday, but he's going to need a new alarm clock to boot. He only got about 3 hours of sleep after his patrol ended early. He's lucky to have gotten any, though as he stumbles his way to the dingy kitchen of his crime alley apartment, he thinks an all-nighter might have been the better choice. If there's one thing Jason can't be accused of, though, it's being a flake. He promised Steph he'd help her with a last-minute study session before her final exams, so he'll be there regardless of how exhausted he feels. The day is pretty average, all things considered. He manages not to crash his bike on the way to Steph's, and she has a pot of coffee waiting for him, extra strong. They get a few hours of mostly productive studying in, with necessary breaks for snacks and debates on the best movies in ex-actor's career. When she goes to class, he crashes on the couch and gets a few hours of rest before she's back. He listens patiently while she vents about the exam, then offers to take her to a celebratory dinner. You don't even know I passed, Steph points out. He shrugs. Yeah, but we can celebrate that you just took your final exam. Hopefully. And dinner is perfectly average, too. No, it's after dinner, when he's got a patrol scheduled with Tim, that everything goes to shit.
Red Robin, on your six!
Jason yells, but it's too late. Tim can't dodge in time, and the spell hits him square in the back. Jason's heart clenches, he waits for Tim to fall. But he just freezes, stares at Jason, and then, almost comically, he begins to shrink. Which is how Jason goes home with a mewling kitten instead of a brother. We'll get you fixed tomorrow, he promises. And Tim just purrs, curls up on his chest, and goes to sleep. Jason looks over at his end table, at the spot where his alarm clock sat 24 hours before, and sighs. Tuesday, take two. Jason groans as his alarm begins its incessant chorus, rolling over to hit it with a bit more force than is strictly necessary, and causing the machine to crash to the floor with a disheartening cracking noise. So, not only is he up at 5 a.m. on a Tuesday, but he's going to need a new alarm clock to boot. Except, didn't that alarm clock break yesterday? And shouldn't there be a kitten on his chest, protesting? He shakes his head. Must have all been a dream, he muses, though he cannot shake the overwhelming deja vu of the moment as he backs up his things to go to Steph's. Can't shake it all day, as he can almost predict exactly what Steph will say, exactly how the arguments will go. Knows exactly where the snacks will be, swears he ate that same meal at that same restaurant in his dream as well. Except then he calls for Tim to watch out, sees the beam of magic hit him again, and goes home with the same little tuxedo kitten as he dreamt about. Either Jason can suddenly see the future, or he's going crazy. Or, well, crazier. Tuesday, take 10. As Jason tries and fails to prevent his alarm clock from crashing to the floor, he can't help but scream in frustration at the resulting crash. Because if his alarm is going off at 5 a.m., that means it's Tuesday yet again. He hasn't had to clean up his broken alarm clock yet. He still has to help Steph study for her exam. Tim is still human. Jason doesn't want to think about how long it took him to catch on that he isn't just stuck in the weirdest dream cycle ever, that he hasn't unlocked some innate psychic power from deep within. But he has woken up on this Tuesday 9 times already, and he's getting tired of it. He learned from Tuesday 8.0 that trying to convince Steph he can't come over won't work, but he tries again anyway. Just like the last 2 days, well, today times two, he supposes, she calls him on his bullshit. Despite already experiencing the guilt for coming off as a flake, it hits him just as hard this go-around. So he concedes, determined to change something else. Eat different snacks, argue different actors. Subtle enough changes to the day that maybe, just maybe, Tim won't get turned into a kitten this go-around. Tuesday, take 15. The problem with trying not to break his alarm clock, Jason realizes, is that when he's first waking up, he can't stop his reaction. Clearly, this is not going to be the change he can make to stop this never-ending Tuesday, though maybe if he actually stops long enough to clean it up. He's not sure how many more things about his day he can change. By Tuesday 12.0, he'd finally gotten over his guilty conscience about canceling on Steph. But after doing that 3 separate times and now waking up for the 15th time to this exact same moment, that's apparently not the change to make. Changing up the snacks, the arguments, that didn't work on Tuesday 10.0. Neither did changing the restaurant on Tuesday 11.0, or wearing different socks on Tuesday 13.0, different underwear on the 14th Tuesday, all while continuing, in vain, to avoid Steph. So it's not about what he wears or what he does with Steph. Maybe he needs to change up the Tim of it all.
Okay, I'm in position.
You're a little lady.
And the usually delightful and now just obnoxious yodeling of Jason's text tone on Tim's phone sounds behind him. He sighs, turning, drawing back the faceplate on his helmet to level his glare in his brother's direction. I thought I told you to check out the other building. Tim rolls his eyes. With the domino, it's a full head motion, and Jason would normally make fun of him for looking bird-like, but he's not in a particularly joking mood. I already did, Tim says. Jason just groans. So much for that plan. Maybe he'll have a better idea on Tuesday 16.0. Tuesday, take 20. If I never hear this fucking song again, Jason grouses, banging his head on the table. Steph raises an eyebrow. I thought you liked classic rock. He sighs. I do. I'm just tired of this song, this restaurant, this day. Wow, she replies, and there's a hurt look on her face. Sorry I'm such bad company. No, he starts, then pauses. Thinks over the past 19 iterations of this Tuesday. Has he ever tried telling someone about it? Changing plans, changing clothes, changing fighting tactics, but has he ever simply said the words out loud? He's apparently paused too long because Steph's look crosses from hurt to angry, and Jason frantically tries to explain himself, watches the anger turn to disbelief, confusion, amusement. It's not funny, Jason insists as his story finishes and Steph has devolved into giggles. I'm being Groundhog Day'd. She wipes tears from her eyes, takes a few breaths. No, no, you're right, she says, but he can see in her eyes how amused she still is. But it could be worse. He snorts. Disagree. This has been my personal hell. Tim could die, she pointed out, and that's something you don't seem to want anymore. Jason nods his agreement. Like, think about it objectively. You keep breaking your clock, you're wearing your shirt backwards today, and Tim is still a kitten at the end of every single Tuesday. He growls in response. Tuesday takes 22 and 23. Fuck it, Jason thinks as they climb the last step to the rooftop showdown. This time, it's going to be different. He doesn't try to warn Tim again, doesn't try to do anything different in the fight, didn't wear something new, didn't tell Steph the truth. He did everything exactly the same because, at this point, why bother? Except, there's still something he hasn't tried. As the magic arcs towards Tim, Jason slams bodily into his brother, shoving the younger boy out of the way. It hits him in the stomach, and a strange feeling spreads through his body, freezing him in place for a moment. For a split second, he's grateful that Tim is not aware of the 21 prior times they've experienced this same fight, that Tim won't ever have to feel this. Maybe Tim will come up with a solution for it all, before even going back to bed. Finally, he thinks, as the world seems to grow around him. As Tim stares down at him with an expression crossed between humor and horror. This has to be the solution. Jason doesn't just slam his alarm to the ground this time. He releases a scream so loud he swears the windows shake as he jumps out of bed, swears loudly as he stomps on the alarm clock, the broken components slicing open the tender skin on the bottom of his foot. At least it'll be fixed when he inevitably wakes up on the 24th Tuesday, he thinks bitterly. Tuesday, take 25. The one thing Jason hasn't done since Tuesday 4.0, he thinks, is change absolutely nothing about his day. Just keep going exactly as he had the first time he lived through this Tuesday. Because, as he learned from the 16th and 24th Tuesdays, even trying to simply not go to sleep won't work. He'll just wake up again on this same shitty, repeating day. There's a lesson to be learned here, he's sure of it, but he can't put his finger on what that lesson could be. Give him another 25 Tuesdays and maybe he'll get there, which is a depressing thought and something he'd greatly prefer not to do. But today, he's going to go through all the motions. Pay attention to exactly how the day plays out when he doesn't try to change anything about it. As he carries the small, yowling kitten home, he comes to an important conclusion. Changing nothing was a stupid, stupid plan. Changing things about his day, also incredibly pointless. Steph has no weight on the day. No, this is about Tim. Why the universe couldn't force that asshole to relive his day, he doesn't know. Apparently, Jason was the chosen victim of this particular curse. Changing up how their patrol went, that had done nothing. Trying to physically get between Tim and become a cat was a bust. No, he's gotta find a way to convince Tim to change his day around from the very start. Jason looks down at the tuxedo kitten in his arms, boops his little nose, scratches behind his ears until he stops protesting and begins purring. I'm going to fix this, little wing, he promises. Which is why, when Jason wakes up in his bed for the 26th time on this particular Tuesday, the very first thing he does is roll over and text Tim.